Appreciate that song. Say again, I say often, I love our music around here. We praise the Lord for what the Lord's doing and so many that work in that. And man, I tell you what, this new fandangled stuff can't hold a candle to it. I want you to turn this morning to Leviticus chapter number 20. Leviticus chapter number 20. Been looking at this passage for several weeks, and the Lord gave me liberty this week to preach on it. And man, I got about 4 hours of stuff I want to say in about 30, 40 minutes. So you pray, and somebody's already yawning. You won't be in a minute. Leviticus chapter number 20. We'll read several verses just for the sake of context. We'll jump over and read a few more after we get started. And Leviticus chapter number 20. We'll start reading this morning in verse number 1. Verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel." Now, we're going to read on, but just as he says there, he says, "Again, again, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel." Again. How many times God got to tell us something? Goes on. "Whosoever he be of the children of Israel, of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth of any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death, and the people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. If the people of the land do any way hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Molech and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off and all that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. Soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. For every one that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He that he hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. The man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." I want to jump over and look at starting in verse number 22. "Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. Ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit the land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people." Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for these thy people that have come to hear your word. Lord, I pray this morning you'd help us. I pray you'd bind the powers of Satan. I pray you'd cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self. Fill me with your Spirit, Holy Spirit, this morning. We ask for you to roam up and down these aisles. I pray that you'd convict sinners of sin this morning. I pray that, Lord, we would get clean and get right in the sight of God. I pray this morning you'd convict saints of sin, that we may all draw closer to thee. We'll be sure to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory that's due your holy name, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say this morning, as we get started here, that I love the United States of America. I truly love this country. I love the fact that this morning there are churches all over this nation and people gathering to hear about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the fact this morning that still, as of now, we still have "In God We Trust" on our dollar bill and on our money. I'm glad this morning there's still some buildings. They're trying to strip it out all they can. There are still some buildings that have Bible verses and "In God We Trust" and all of that stuff throughout America, especially you get up around Washington, D.C. and all the state buildings. I love the fact you can walk into a restaurant still and you can get a cup that has John 3:16 on it. Somebody been to Cookout lately? I like that, man. They got John 3:16, got another verse on there. I'd say go there. Go there. I like this morning the fact that in America there's still one or two restaurants that close. You say, "Preacher, you go eat sometimes on Sunday." I'd go home. Can I tell you something? I'd lot much rather and better be at home than to have these places open and not reverencing the Lord. I love the United States of America. Do you realize what we're doing this morning? We've come together and we've gathered together here this morning to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you realize that we're gathered studying the Word of God, and we've gathered together to fellowship with the people of God, and we've come together and singing the songs of God and now hearing the preaching of the Word of God. All of it, our culture, or at least our country, still says is our God-given right, and we don't need them to tell us that. We already know it is. I love the United States of America. I believe that God truly loves the people of America. But I want to tell you, as I look around at our nation and what our nation has become, and as I look around at what the norm in our nation has become, and when we look around at what many of our churches have become, and when we look and see what our children have become, and when we look out there and even see many parents and what they've become, and we look and we realize what our priorities have become, I want to tell you this morning, God has some things against America. God has some things that He does not like about America. When I look at the direction and the path that our, quote, leaders are taking us down, and that does not bring us closer to God, but instead takes us further from God and further from God's wills and will. And yet now we're dodging bullets in our schools, and a shooting nearly every week now in the schoolhouse, and we're dodging bullets several times a year, getting shot up at our military bases, and all the things that's happening. And listen, storms dropping buildings and planes flying into other buildings, and yet we still look around and we act as if nothing's wrong, and we still sing, God bless America. But can I tell you something? God has some things against America. God has some things against America. We've turned our back on Him. I want you to look with me this morning at verse number 23. The Bible says, and you shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you. Watch this now. For they committed all these things. Watch what he says. And therefore, I abhorred them. I want to preach this morning with the help of God on this thought, some things God hates about America. Some things God hates about America. He said, all these things, therefore I abhorred them. All these things were the same things that God hated about the nation of Egypt. He tells us about, we could back up and look at it. It's also things that He hated, the same things were going on that in the nation of Egypt, where they were coming from, and God brought them out of that, and He said, don't be doing those things. And He hated these same things that were going on, the nation of Canaan, or the people of Canaan, the Canaanites and Ammonites, and all that wickedness was going on. And can I tell you, it's the same things that later on God hated about the nation of Israel, because they didn't hearken and they didn't listen. And it's the same things this morning that God hates about America. Somebody in here ought to know that we serve a God who never changes. The same things He hated then are the same things that He hates now. There's no shadow, neither variableness of turning with Him. The songwriter got it right when he said, yesterday and today and forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. And He hadn't changed His mind about sin. Amen. He still hates it. There are some things this morning that God hates about America. He says there, all these things, they've committed all these things, therefore I abhor them. That word abhor is a very interesting word. Sometimes we just need to simply look up a word. We know that it means hate. But I want you to know it really means, the first definition, to hate extremely. God don't just hate it, but He hates it extremely. He hates it abundantly. It means to hate extremely or with contempt. It means to loathe, to detest, to abominate. The second definition of that word abhor means to despise or neglect. Not only does God hate it, not only does He extremely hate it, but He despises it, He detests it, He abominates it, He neglects it. Not only those things, but the third definition, the Bible says, or the definition of that word abhor, to cast off or reject. And every one of those things are found here in this passage. And all of these things describes the feelings that God has toward the things that took place in the nations before. And I want to tell you something this morning. It breaks my heart to think that a God who raised up America and a God who's blessed America could have the feelings that He has towards these things that are going on in America. But the Bible says God hates it. God hates it. All these things, he said, I abhor. It breaks my heart to think that God hates so much that's going on with a country that he raised up. As we think about this morning, number one, regarding the things that God hates about America, I want you to notice God hates our spiritual sins. He hates our spiritual sins. Notice with me verses 1 through 3 again. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. Look at verse 3. And I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from among his people. Why? Because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. Can I tell you something? God said, I hate their worship. I hate their worship. I'm talking about our spiritual sins in America. God says very clearly here that he hates the who of their worship. They were worshiping a pagan god by the name of Molech. He was a fire god, and they would erect this image and this altar and build a fire, and there they would take and worship this false god of Molech. And this happened all the way back, the Canaanites and the Ammonites, and even in tragically onto God's people, the Israelites, and they were worshiping this false god of Molech. But they had already been told back in Exodus chapter number 20, thou shalt have no other gods before me. They had already been told that there's only one God, and they knew there's only one God. And can I tell you what we need to realize and recognize in the United States of America? Muhammad's not God. Allah is not God. Buddha is not God. Listen, Jehovah is God, and he's manifested himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And can I tell you something? You and I need to understand and recognize and realize, and this nation, the people of this nation, need to realize that God hated their worship of other gods. You realize while churches are closing their door by the droves, about 4,000 churches every single year close their door. Every week there's a new mosque being built and started. Every single week. Look it up. While Islam's been the fastest growing religion for over a decade now in America. Fastest growing religion. There are currently over 3.3 million Muslims in America worshiping Muhammad. Worshiping Allah. There, it's predicted by 2050, the year 2050, that's not very far away, 34 years, there'll be over 8.1 million Muslims in America. Can you imagine 8.1 million people crying out and praying out to some other god out of this nation that God blessed and God raised up? That does not even include the 1.5 million Hindus. It does not even include all those million Catholics that's praising and worshiping the Pope. It doesn't even include the Buddhists and all the other false Eastern religions. That's just simply the Muslims crying out to another god. Can I tell you something? That does not please God. That does not make him happy. And it does not make him want to bless the United States of America. He hated the who they were worshiping. You see, he's God and God alone. He'll not share his praise. He'll not share his glory. He'll not share his worship with anyone. He's a jealous God. He hated the who they were worshiping. They were worshiping Molech. He hated how they were worshiping. He says there, you profaned my name and you defiled my sanctuary. You see, this pagan false god of the Ammonites and Canaanites eventually became a pagan false god with the Israelites, and they continue on in that worship and worshiping, and they would resemble around this altar and this false god and build a fire, and they would take and sacrifice their children to this false god Molech by killing them and putting them through the fire. And they did it as a form of worship. They did it as a way, quote, to worship God. And God said, I hate it. You defile my sanctuary. You disgrace my name by it, he says in verse number 3. And I want to tell you this morning, while it may not be quite that extreme in our nation, can I tell you something? There's a whole lot going on under the banner of worship in our country that defiles God, that disgraces God, that disappoints God. There's a whole lot going on in America under the banner of worship that God detests and he hates and he's sick of. Under worship, says it's a disgrace to his name. It's a disgrace to Christianity. Can I tell you something? Dancing around in the flesh and prodding around in the flesh and rocking it out in the flesh and jamming for Jesus and worshiping in the flesh. Can I tell you something? God hates that. He abhors that. He can't stand that. He said, after I saved you out of that mess, it's an abomination. Listen, praise God, I'm glad I serve a God that when He saved me, He brought me out of that pit. He brought me from the mire, put me in the choir, lifted me up from that pit, and brought me, set my feet on a solid rock. He established my going. Watch this. He put a new song. Somebody said, He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and He saved us out of that mess, and it's an abomination to God for you and I to get back in it. And I'm going to tell you what's worse. It's even worse to bring that mess in the church house. He said, you defiled my sanctuary. You defiled my sanctuary. Look back at that Leviticus 18. Look at verse number 3. After the doings of the land of Egypt, that's where they were brought out of. Leviticus 18:3. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, shall you not do. After the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, in other words, where you're going, shall you not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. Look over back in our text, verse 20, verse number 7. Sanctify yourselves. Bless God, He said we're different. Sanctify yourselves, verse 7 of chapter 20, therefore, and be ye holy. For I am the Lord your God, am holy, and you shall keep my command, my statutes, and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. Over in verse number 24, he says there, but I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Watch what he says. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. You know what you and I need to be and are supposed to be? We're supposed to be different. And God says, I'm sick of the worship that's going on under my name that doesn't look anything different than the world. It's the exact same stuff that's going on in the church house. We're to be separate. We're to be separated. God saved us out of a life of that mess. I'm amazed at how so many churches want to see just how close they can get to the world. Just how much they can cater to the world in their music and in their manners and in their motives and in their motions. And listen, sad to say, even in their message. You know what they're doing now? They're going around, they're telling people, well, you just need to find the innermost part of who you really are, and you just need to find yourself and become that beautiful person that you have on the inside. You know what they're not telling you? You'll never be anything on the outside until God does something with you on the inside. You know what they're not telling them? They're not telling them you'll never be real and you'll never be right on the outside until God makes a change on the inside. Can I tell you something? Listen, they can bring in the music. They can bring in the rock bands. They can bring in their movies and all the things they want to show what people need. Why is it we're so afraid of old-time religion anymore? Just old-time preaching. Well, preach, don't preach to me. Don't tell me I'm a sinner. Don't tell me I'm doing something wrong. Get up and teach me something. That's what the Bible said. They'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and be turned away unto fables, to a lie against the truth. We don't want to hear preaching anymore. Just get up and tell me how big the ark was. Teach me. You know why? Teaching deals with the intellect. Praise God, preaching deals with the heart. He hates the worship. Too many of them simply talking about, well, just become who you really are on the inside. God said, I hate it. Who would have ever thought that church would become so much about us, so little about Him? I mean, it amazes me that church has become so much about us and so little about Him. I mean, you got preachers that quote preachers, leaders, church leaders that are, well, let's just give them what we want, what they want. You know why they don't? You know why people don't enjoy old-time religion anymore? Because preachers have quit preaching. Because we've brought the music out and brought the hymns out and brought this other garbage in. Spiritual leaders said, let's give them what they want. God said, you've defiled my sanctuary. You profane my holy name. He hates the worship. You know what else he says? Look at verse 3. And I will set my face against that man. We'll cut him off from among his people because he hath given of his seed. He hath given of his seed, that's his children, unto Molech. They're killing their babies. Let me tell you something else God hates about America. He hates abortion. I want to tell you something. You're here this morning. You've done that. And maybe something happened in your life and you've had an abortion. God will forgive you. God loves you. He'll cleanse you. Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. But I want to tell you something. God hates abortion. He hates the fact that we're killing 3,000 babies every single week. We're shedding innocent blood. 3,000 babies every single week. You would tell you God hates? He hates the fact we're killing 90,000 babies every single month. God hates that we're killing 977,000 little children, little babies in the womb. We're killing 977,000. That's right at a million babies every single year. And God hates it. I'll tell you something else he hates. He hates the fact that since 1973, when Roe versus Wade was passed, all the way back since that time, we've killed in America 59 million babies. I want to tell you something. There's blood on our hands. We've sowed to the wind, and we're going to reap a whirlwind. God hates abortion. It does not please him. It does not make, he said, I detest it. I abhor it. I hate it extremely. Well, I tell you, preacher, I don't like preaching like that. I just think, you know, I think preachers, I don't think they got any business talk. I believe it's a woman's right to choose. No, it's her right to choose before she's done the deed. I just believe that, you know, got no business. I just think we need to mind our own business. I just think, you know, Christians ought to mind their own business. You know what? I'm so sick of this tolerance stuff. The very ones hollering tolerance have no tolerance of anything else, but they've got an agenda they want to run down our throat. I'm sick of it. I just believe we just need to mind our own business. That's not what God says. Look with me at verses number 3 and 4 again. And I'll set my face against that man. And I'll cut him off from among his people, because he hath given his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary, profane my holy name. Look at verse number 4. And if the people of the land, watch this, do anyways, in any ways, well, we got a lot of ways we do this, don't we? Hide their eyes from the man. When he giveth of his seed unto Molech, kill him not, then I will set my face against that man. The Bible says here, if any man in that nation, in any ways, you see, we can hide our eyes by just ignoring it. We can hide our eyes back like we don't see it. We can hide our eyes by tolerating it. If in any way they hide their eyes, he said, my face is going to be set against them. Well, I just think you need to mind your own business. That's not what God says. I don't think we need to go around killing people, but can I tell you something? We don't need to go around and hide our head in the sand either. We don't need to go around and keep our mouth shut either. He wants us to cry out against that sin. He wants us to stand against that sin. He wants us to do everything that we can in our power to abolish that sin. He said, if any man hides his eyes, he'll be just as guilty, and I'll set my face against him also. This nation is going to hell in a handbasket, and way too long we Christians have hid our eyes, and with everything that's going on down the pike, we've just let them, the minority, have a say for the majority. It's time for Christians to stand up. It's time for Christians to stand up and be counted. It's time for Christians to step up and be seen. It's time for Christians to speak up and be heard. We need to sound out an alarm all over this nation. Listen, that right's still right. Wrong is still wrong. Sin is still sin. And God is still God. And judgment's still coming to America unless we change our ways about some things that God says I hate, I detest, and I'm going to spew you out of that land. Somebody needs to stand up, step up, and speak up. I'm tired, listen, I'm tired of being politically correct. I'm tired of being tolerant when the minority and the sickos are taking over this nation. Can I tell you something? We have just as much right this nation as they do. In fact, we got more. There's only one God. You're not going to handle that. You bunch of crying out to Allah and all that mess. You see? Well, I just think women's right to choose. It was her right at one time, but now it's God's right. Because I want to tell you something. He's Creator God. And because he's the one, not the mama, not the daddy, but God's the one that created that little child in that womb. He's the creator, and therefore he's the only one that has the right to take that life. Notice here again in the context, verse 3. Context is still worship. He says, you've defiled my sanctuary and my holy name. Verse 4, he says, if the people of the land do anyways hide their eyes from this stuff, well, I just think people ought to be able to worship any way they want to in America. I just think we all just need to coexist. That's not what God says. That's not what he says. I just think we all just need to get along and coexist. Let me tell you something, friend, because you've been lied to in America. You've been sold a bill of goods, and you've been lied to. You need to understand this morning. Listen, some of you millennials and some of you that only maybe 15, 20 years old, you've really been sold a lie. I want you to understand America was not founded on religious freedom. America was not founded on atheism. America was not founded on Buddhism. America was not founded on Islam. But America was founded on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our founding, and that's what we came from, and that's who we are. And don't believe the lie. Well, we just, you know, America really, they're trying to change the textbooks and change the history books. But what you need to understand is that our founding, our society has tried to change our founding and try to say, well, you know, it really, they weren't Christians. This one was an atheist, and this one was that, and this one was the other. No, they were founded, and we were founded, and this country was founded on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What our society has done is fed us a bunch of lies and sold us a bill of goods, and we bought it. They try to make us feel guilty about speaking out against some other, quote, religion. They try to make us feel guilty about speaking out against some other, quote, sin. Well, can I tell you something? I'm tired of being politically correct, and I'm tired of being quiet. It's time that some of God says, listen, if you tolerate it, if you look at it, if you let it go on, and you hide your face in the sand, you got me to deal with. Well, we just need toleration. Ain't it good how a Bible can straighten out somebody's opinion? Well, we just need to tolerate. It's not what God said. We've bought this lie. God said, I hate their worship. Their spiritual sins, and I got to hurry. Secondly, he hates their witchcraft. Look at verse 6. Soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I'll even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. God hates spiritism. God hates wizards and witchcraft and Wicca and all this mess. And I want to tell you something, it's way more prevalent than you ever know. Here, Wicca is the next fastest growing religion right behind Islam. In America, there's a sign some of you may have seen. If you come down Emory Road, or if you're coming out where Central Avenue Pike comes in and high school comes in right there at Emory Road, that intersection, there's a sign right there that says, Home of the Wiccans. Friend, can I tell you something? That's America. That's Tennessee. That's Bible Belt. I'll never forget, we were out soul winning one day. It was back when I was working with the youth. And we had the church van, a couple church vans out. And we had a load of children. We pulled up beside this one. And this girl, she had all blacked out fingernails and everything else, her eyes and everything all blacked out like they do and all that over by Fountain City Park. And we pull up there, we pull over kind of by the park there, and she's just standing over there. And one of our teenagers got out, the big bubbling smile on her face, had a track, and she's fixing to go over there and give it to her. As soon as we pull up, the girl just starts backing up like this. And she's looking at the side of the church van, and she's just backing up like this. And she opened that door and had that track right there. She took off running down the street. No Jesus, no Jesus, no Jesus. Don't tell me it's not around here. And God hates it. God hates horoscopes. Christian got no business messing with that stuff. He hates all that mess. Do you realize over 70 million people in America read their horoscope every single day? Most of them, many of them Christians. All that mess is nothing but humanism. It goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel. It goes all the way back to Nimrod and the humanistic ways of trying to get our way to God, trying to figure out how things are working. And you know what we want to do? Is we want to try to be able to tell the future and want to try to be able to tell what's going on. Can I tell you something? We have a revelation from God that tells me and tells you every single thing we need to know about what has happened, what is happening, and what's going to happen. We have it right here. We don't need anything else. And God says, I hate that mess. Look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 18. Hold your place here. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy chapter 18. Verse number 10. Deuteronomy 18, verse number 10. There shall not be found, Deuteronomy 18, verse number 10, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of the abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times, there they are, and of diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered, watch it, as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. Friend, I don't know how much clearer it can get than that. The Lord, there's plenty more verses we could look at, we don't have time. The Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. That's pretty clear. God hates the palm readers. He hates the fortune tellers. Child of God, stay away from that mess. Our spiritual sins. I want you to notice, secondly, God hates our social sins. Back in Leviticus chapter number 20, He hates our social sins. In other words, how we interact with one another. He hates the lack of respect and submission there is in this country. I want you to look with me at verse number 9. Look with me at verse number 9. For every one that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. Can I tell you something? God hates how so many children in our nation are dishonorable to their parents. God hates how so many children in this nation are disobedient to their parents. God hates how so many children in this nation are disrespectful to their parents. He said, these are some things that I hate, that I detest, and that I'm going to deal with. You hear me, young people, listen, you may think it's cool and funny, you may think it's the cool thing to do, but God's not laughing. He don't think it's funny at all, not even one little bit. It's sin against God. It's rebellion against God. It flies in the face of God every single time you say a cross word to your mother, every single time you grumble at your father, every single time you're disrespectful to an elder or to some other adult. God's anger is kindled. God's anger is fired up. And God gets angry and putrefying in His sight. He can't stand it. He says, I hate it. Look at Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 3. It's back one page. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. Keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall fear. You know what that means? It means reverence. It means respect. Proverbs 6:20 says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 23:22, hearken unto thy father that begat thee. And despise not thy mother when she is old. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things. Well, I don't want to do that, it doesn't matter. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Well, that preacher, that stuff's Old Testament. See, that's the problem. Y'all are just so old and you're fuddy-duds and you're just not up with the times. Well, why don't you turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter number 15 and verse number 4 while you hold your place. Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 4. In Matthew chapter 15 in verse number 4. Notice here what the Bible says. I want to back up a little bit. We'll read starting in verse number 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." And they're coming, trying to get something against Jesus' disciples because they didn't wash their hands. It was a tradition. But here's what God said. But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and thy mother. He that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free." In verse number 4 here, Christ quoted and confirmed in the New Testament that it's still a command. It's still a command of God. God's still serious about it. It's still in the Bible, and it still goes, and it still counts. He goes on, he says, "Hey, you say, Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, It's a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me." Boy, isn't that the generation we got? You are just so blessed that I'm here. You know what? We got generation. Think we owe them something because they breathe air and they share our last name. I don't know. I told my kids, I don't owe you nothing. You're profited. It's a gift to you that you're profited by me. God hates that. He hates it. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." That's New Testament, by the way, Ephesians 6. I can go on and quote the rest of it if you want me to. That's verse 1. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. When God looks at America and he sees the disrespect and disobedience and dishonor that there is among young people, and children with their parents and children with authority, he hates it. I'm talking about our social sin. God hates the social disrespect that's in our nation. I want to tell you something. We're at the point that it's just a mess. I mean, when children... whether it's a disrespect between children and parents, whether it's disrespect between law enforcement and citizens, whether it's disrespect between workers and their boss, whether it's disrespect between students and their teachers, whether it's disrespect between church members and the leadership in that church. Listen, 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." That's still Bible, by the way. It's still in there. "Yea, all of you be subject one to another." Here's the key. "And be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Well, I tell you what, they're not telling me what to do. They're not going to tell me what I... And if they get in my face, I'll tell you what, praise God, I'm going to get right back in their face. God says he resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. He says honor those that are older and those that are wiser and got more years on them. Just look at the revolt and disrespect of our law enforcement in our nation. Look at this mess that went on in Missouri, and now it's went on all over the place in America of people revolting against law enforcement and standing up and protesting against them and trying to fight against the law enforcement as if they're the bad guys. Can I tell you something? It's right out of the pit of hell. Are there some dirty cops? No doubt about it. But the majority of them are good. Look with me at Romans chapter 13. I know we're turning some scriptures just where we need to. It's what we need, the Bible. Romans chapter 13. The Bible says here, this is still in the Bible too, by the way, and it's also New Testament, if that matters. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." God's put anybody, it doesn't matter what power they have, whether they're a teacher, whether they're a preacher, whether they're the president of the United States, God put them there. "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God." You remember how, I'm sure many of you have heard and understand that when your little brother, your little sister run to tell you something that mama said or daddy said, and you don't do it, you're not disobeying brother or sister. You're disobeying mama and daddy because it came from mama and daddy. See? And that's what the Bible's talking about here. Look what he says. "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. They that resist shall receive themselves damnation." Watch this, verse 3. "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil." They're not against you. who's trying to do right. Watch what he says. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that, here's the key, which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You don't have to worry about the law when you're obeying it. Everybody got a problem with, well, they're not. Obey the law. Nowhere in these 66 books will you ever find a way or a reason or permission to disobey authority unless that authority, until that authority says something contrary to the word of God, then you say you ought to obey God rather than man. But until then, render unto Caesar that which are Caesar's. Nowhere does it tell us we have the right to disobey authority. Look what he goes on and says, verse number 4. For he, talking about this person in power, which is, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, oh yeah, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. If you're doing wrong, you've got a reason to be messed up. You've got a reason to be afraid. Look at the disrespect going on between employees and their boss. Well, I don't think they deserve respect. As bad as all this stuff is, it's even worse, the fact that this stuff's infiltrating the church. There's no respect for anybody or anything anymore. You go around, people go around bumper stickers, you may have seen them question authority. That's the society that we have today. That's the children that we have raised today. That's the generation that we have in this world. And God says it's going to bring damnation upon them. It's bad, it's even worse, it's in our churches. You ought to hear some of the stuff I hear people say about the leadership in their work, in their church, a complete lack of respect. I mean, I don't hear it here. I'm sure probably it goes on and somebody probably says something. I don't hear it, and that's a good thing. But listen, I get so sick of hearing stuff. I was talking to somebody about the Lord. Hey, where do you go to church? Well, we go over so-and-so, but yeah. And all I hear is like a weed eater in my ear, man. I just got worried more. I said, well, listen, they're doing the best they can. Won't you just pray for them? That's what you're supposed to do, by the way. Listen, if I was going to a church and I could not back the leadership in that church, I'd shut my mouth and leave. I'm telling you, it's almost everybody I talk to, no matter what church they go to. No respect for anybody in leadership. No respect for anybody in authority. God said, obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your soul. I'll tell you something, this is one of the biggest reasons, the biggest problems, that kids, when they get about 15 years old, they care nothing about church anymore. You want to know why? Because they've heard mama and daddy sit at the dinner table and pick the preacher apart. They've heard mama and daddy talk about how dumb the Sunday school teacher was. They've heard mom and dad talk about how bad the choir was. And it comes to 15 years old, and Johnny's getting in trouble now, and they want to bring Johnny to the preacher as though the preacher's going to wave a magic wand and fix Johnny when he has zero influence with Johnny because he thinks he's a moron. That's what his mom and daddy's always said. Do you see why this stuff is messed up and our nation is messed up and God says, I hate it? He hates our spiritual sins. He hates our social sins. I want you to notice, lastly, he hates our sexual sins. Look with me back in Leviticus chapter 20. We'll look at verse number 10 in a minute. America's become a sex-crazed nation. We've become a perverted nation. Things that never would have been accepted 30 or 40 years ago are now not only accepted, but they're promoted and they're praised and they're lifted up and exalted, and God hates the sexual sins in America. Look at verse number 10. The man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. God hates adultery. Can I tell you something? 50 to 60% of the marriages will be affected by infidelity in America. That's just now, and it's going up every single day. Statistically, 50 to 60% of all marriages will be affected by infidelity. I want to tell you something else that's even worse. 4 out of 10 Americans believe that it's morally acceptable to have an affair or to commit adultery when you marry. 4 out of 10 Americans believe that it's morally acceptable to do so. God hates that. The Bible still says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Still there. God hates homosexuality. Look what the Bible says, verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind as lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now we've become a perverted nation. I'm telling you, these people that used to hide and cower behind that sin, and the people who used to be ashamed of that sin and used to not want that sin to be seen and used to be kept in the closet, have now come out of the closet, and they've now not only come out of the closet, but they've come out with an agenda, and they've come out with a vengeance, and they've come out and they're trying to take over our media, and they come out and they're trying to take over our movies, and they come out and they're trying to take over all the TV stations, and they've come out and they're trying to take over all the schoolhouses, and they're even trying to take over and get in and corrupt and mess up the church houses. And can I tell you something? It's an abomination. God said it still is, and we're supposed to be sympathetic. And we're supposed to be accepting of it. But can I tell you something? No matter how much they push me, no matter how much they persecute me, no matter how much they prosecute me, I'm still going to keep preaching against it. I'm still going to keep fighting against it. And I'm still going to keep pushing back against it, because God said that's what we're supposed to do. Yeah, that's Old Testament, preacher. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. Things God hates about America. You know, it breaks my heart to even say that. Just look at verse 21. Because, verse 21 of Romans 1, that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, their foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts, creeping things. Look at verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. We're going to read on in a minute. You know what our president ran on? Change. How do you like the change? Who changed the truth of God into a lie? Worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause. This is why. God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. What is it? And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman. Hey, can I tell you something? It's not natural. Well, I was born that way. No, you wasn't. It's not natural. They had to change it to try to make it natural, and it's still not natural. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves a recompense of their error which was meet. Look at verse 28. Because this is a progression. This passage is a progression, and it's the exact progression that we've went down and are going down in our country. Verse number 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Can I tell you something? If I was involved in this mess, I wouldn't want to think about God either. You know why they don't want to, you know why they want to get God off everything? Get Him out of our buildings, get Him out of our schoolhouses, get Him. Because when I acknowledge the fact that there is a holy God and God hates sin, and when I acknowledge what the Bible says, God's Word says about sin, I also have to acknowledge that someday I've got to stand before that God, and I don't want to think about that. I don't want to have to deal with that. So the Bible says that they did not even like to retain God in their knowledge. Don't tell us this is wrong. Don't tell us that God said don't do this. They don't even like to retain God in their knowledge. It goes on and says, and God turned them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that were unseemly. We're messed up. Friend, listen. We don't even know what bathroom to use. God help us. Listen. Our mayor, our wonderful mayor, You know what she said? They're trying to pass this bill where they can let whoever go to whatever bathroom. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you right now. Somebody's going to bail me out of jail if somebody, listen, let somebody walk in there with my wife or my daughter and somebody's going to bail me out of jail. She says, look, if we don't pass this bill and let this trans sicko thing go on, if we don't pass this, then we're going to lose all this money. These businesses, we're going to lose all this. Can I tell you something? If we do pass it, we're going to lose a lot more than that. We're going to lose, listen, we're going to lose our young people. We're going to lose a whole lot more than that if we do pass it. We're going to lose whatever little bit of common sense we still have in this nation. We're going to lose a little bit of morality we still have in this nation. And we're going to lose a whole lot more than a little bit of money and a little bit of business. If they want that mess, I don't want them here anyway. Don't even know what bathroom to use. He hates adultery. He hates homosexuality. He hates pornography. You go down through this passage, and as you look, starting in verse 11, every single one of these sins, we didn't read them all, but he keeps on talking about all the way down through there, and he says, you uncovered their nakedness. You uncovered their nakedness. You uncovered their nakedness. Pornography is what's driving it all. Because what helped you out at first won't help you out a little later. Just like a drug. And you keep going deeper and deeper and getting more twisted, more sick as you go. He deals with it in Leviticus right there in our passage, beastology. He deals with it in Romans chapter 1. Man laying with beast, women laying with beast. You got to keep getting more sick and more sick. And pornography is the main thing that's driving this sexual perversion in our nation. And God hates it. My eyes have no business on anybody but my wife. Her eyes have no business on anybody but me. Why would she ever want to? We're number one. Listen, we're America. We're number one in something. Number one in pornography. We're number one in the world when it comes to pornography. We're number one. We have the highest percentage of people who view it. As much as 76, listen to this. As much as 77% of the people in America view pornography at least once a month. 77%. We're number one in the production of it. We're number one in the global distribution of it. We lead the entire world in hosting of the internet porn websites, and not just by a little bit. The next one that's closest to us is the Netherlands. They have 187 million porn web pages. But guess what? Good old America has 428 million porn web pages in this country. Well, it's the sign of the times. Everybody does it. No, David said in Psalms 101, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Bible says to abstain from evil. We hide under the precept of God is love. And God is love. But can I tell you something? There's some things He hates. God hates the perversion in America. This mess. You look at the ruin of every other nation. If you know anything about history, it's followed this same path. It leads further and further and further, and all of it taking us away from God. And we're quiet. God hates our spiritual sins. He hates the way that what's going on under the banner of worship in churches. He hates the witchcraft and all that mess people are dealing in. God hates our social sins and the disrespect for one another that we have. Disrespect for authority that we have. God hates that stuff. He hates our sexual sins. You say, preacher, I realize these are things that God hates in our nation, but what can we do? What can I do? Well, you see, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, judgment must begin at the house of God. You know why our world's messed up? Because our families are messed up. You know why our churches are messed up? Because our families are messed up. Judgment must begin at the house of God, if my people. You see, it's a messed up world. But can I tell you something? If 77% of America is viewing pornography at least once a month, that's including a whole lot of Christians. And we already got numbers on those anyway. you've got it all together, praise the Lord. Nothing that needs to, you know what? We just little by little let sin creep into our life. And you know what we do? We turn our eyes, just like he said. Listen, you see him going, we say, well, I'm not doing that. I'd never give my child up to Molech. I'd never sacrifice something on an altar of worship. I would never worship that way. I'd never go to that church. I'd never do that thing. No, God said don't hide your eyes from it. We need to get on our face before God. Can I tell you something? If you got it all together this morning, you ought to come and pray for those who don't, because there's a whole lot of people in America who don't. I love the United States of America, but there's some things when God looks down, he says, they've committed these things, therefore I abhor them. America, listen, we don't get a free pass. God's not going to tolerate sin because we're America. His own chosen people he cast out. Who do we think we are? Let's stand for prayer.